The University of East Anglia, the UEA, has pioneered climate research for nearly 50 years, and its Tyndall Centre has broken new ground in understanding the global climate system. Mark Smith talks to Asha Minns, the Executive Director at the Tyndall Centre. Mark first asked him about his role.
Well, thank you, Mark, for your interest. The Tyndall Centre for Climate Change Research, we were set up in the year 2000 to look at what to do about climate change. So at that time, we were quite unique in the world, really, because most research into climate change up to that point had been much more to do with how bad is it going to be, what's happening, what's the evidence, is it how much of it is man-made, whereas we started from climate change is happening, what can be done in response to that. And so we are headquartered at the University of East Anglia. That's where our main hub is. We are a partnership of universities. Currently, University of East Anglia, Manchester University, Newcastle University, and Cardiff University. And the reason that we're a partnership is because no one university or no academic discipline can say, oh yeah, we know everything about climate change, we can do all this research on our own. So we're a big collaboration, bringing together lots of different types of expertise, because I think, as everybody would realize, that climate change is a bit to do with everything. It isn't just to do with emissions, it isn't just to do with transport, it isn't just to do with how extreme the weather is. There's lots of different parts to it, and that's why we're this network of universities, all these different expertises, but working together as one central hub.
Oh, fantastic. That's must be very interesting work for you.
It is, yes. Well, I've been there for nearly since it started, and that's mostly because I can't find a more interesting job. I hope rather maybe they'll give me a job. And there's four main themes that we have of what we're looking at, because I've sort of said we're all these people work together. So our main four themes are decarbonisation, you know, trying to get emissions down as quickly as possible, and how to do that. The second is about social transition, so that's behaviour change, what people and organisations can do themselves within their own actions. We also look at resilience to climate change, which means when we have a good understanding of the risks of climate change, you know, flooding, heat waves, some of the things we've just experienced very recently. So how to adapt to those changes, you know, how to become resilient to the risks of climate change is a very important one. And then we do sort of international development research with poorer countries, climate change, poorer countries, in collaboration with those. So that's our sort of four main themes, but having said that, it's very broad.
I can imagine, yes, yeah. And are you funded for your work through academic research grants, or is it a government organisation?
We're funded through academic research grants, which ultimately that's taxpayer money, which gets sort of filtered through the government to research organisations and universities, and so we have to often competitively bid to take on research ideas, as well as the University of East Anglia provides its own funding to make sure that there's that important glue that we can then apply for funding from outside organisations.
And in terms of your staffing numbers and people doing academic research, how many people do you kind of have at your centre that carries out the work you do?
Yeah, it's one of those. It rather depends how you count, because there's people who are very very full time and funded by the Tyndall Centre, and then there's people who's opted into the Tyndall Centre for part of their time because they like it and it's useful for their work. And then, of course, very important in research is not perhaps the older established people like me, but is the early career researchers. So the doctoral students who are doing their PhDs and or their first professional research jobs. So there's a whole range of people from senior staff through to people who had left the university last year and are just embarking on their doctoral studies. But to answer your question, when I'm looking nationwide at the Tyndall Centre, all the partners, I think I consider there's about 80 sort of at the core, 80 people at the core, and then if we did the big count, we're probably about 220 people over the country. But there's a core of people right in the middle, coordinating and making it happen.
That's fantastic. And in terms of kind of how you help people locally to look after the environment or to decarbonise, what kind of work and projects are you involved with locally, with advising councils and the general public on what we can do?
Well, that's a super question, because that's something I'm working quite a lot on now. So a year ago, or just over a year ago, in partnership with the City Council, I set up the Norwich Climate Commission, which currently is 10 commissioners, so sort of volunteering their time. We're all volunteers to help the City Council and citizens on their journey through reducing emissions going into the atmosphere, whether that's from household use or power or transport emissions. So there's sort of reducing emissions, saving energy, which of course is it's always enormously important, but it's become even more enormously important because the cost of gas and electricity at the moment. So there's that on helping reduce emissions through saving energy and better ways of doing that, and also looking at how the city can also adapt to the impacts of climate change. So I was talking about risk and resilience to climate change, risk of climate change and becoming resilient to it. And adaptation to climate change is particularly important for Norfolk and Norwich, because people will know, we are quite vulnerable here to heat waves. We're already a drought region. Actually, there's not enough water to drink, that needs to be changed as well. We're a big agricultural region, so yeah, extreme weather has big agricultural impacts. Low-lying county, and there are already ongoing issues with coastal erosion and sea level rise, as well as being a very low-lying county. Just now, with that full moon, we've just had a load of very high tides coming all the way up into Norwich, and so there's a lot of adapting to what is happening.
Yeah.
In addition to reducing emissions, and working with the City Council to sort of help them and support them and guide them where necessary, and reaching out to citizens as well.
Yes, that's really important, and I guess your work is also about things like advising the council on tree planting and having more electric buses and asking people to turn their engines off when they're not have their engines idling at the side of the road when they're parked up, is it, and that kind of thing.
Well, I think all these things are tied in a bit like that at the beginning of the conversation. Yeah, climate change is such a big topic that it incorporates everything. So, I mean, the city council's got a really good new strategy on biodiversity. So, you know, tree planting, looking after its green spaces, how to make them, most useful for biodiversity and for people and for storing carbon out of the atmosphere. And that's not only Norwich City Council doing a little bit of work with Broadland and South Norfolk on how to best manage the green spaces for carbon storage and biodiversity as well. So I would say we give them sort of direct advice, because that's why they've got really good people already.
Yes.
Many of whom came from the University of East Anglia and went to work in the local authorities. But what we'll do is sort of hopefully help and point out perhaps some of the newer ideas and more recent thinking, and what are the best strategies, because obviously we don't we're independent, so we don't tell councillors what to do, but we can certainly say, well, we think this is the range of choices, these are the different strategies that are out there. One that I would, because you were talking about transport, and I think, you know, transport's important, especially public transport, because everybody can drive or want to drive, and so public transport has to be accessible for everybody, especially if it's been talked about in a reducing emissions type way, sort of electric buses and those sorts of things, is probably one of the biggest changes that could happen really quickly in Norwich, if we imagine all the city of Norwich, or very close to the city of Norwich, would be to take the speed limit from 30 miles an hour to 20 miles an hour, because it reduces an enormous amount of emissions. It reduces noise pollution a lot as well, and noise pollution is actually very important. It's one of those things, it's a bit like air pollution, you can't see it, but it has real impacts on people's health, as shown by World Health Organization and others. And it also makes walking and cycling and other ways of getting around much safer if the traffic is going much slower and not speeding up and slowing down. So that's probably one of the biggest changes that could almost be done tomorrow, is to cut the speed limit, because you get cleaner air, less noise and safer travel.
Yeah. And in terms of what individuals can do, I mean, like you touched there on making sure that we're cutting down on our energy usage, and we all know about things like, you know, not using too much plastics when we're going shopping, and recycling and all those kinds of things. Are there initiatives that you can help, you know, you can advise individuals on in individual households?